I'd like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is January 31st of 2025. The time is 7:31 a.m. And the purpose of this meeting is to substantively review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. Kathy, would you call roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Seidman?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Kathy. Moving on, excuse me, moving on to agenda item number three, approval of minutes. Dr. Medina, do you have any corrections to the regular session minutes for January 6th of 2025?
I do not, Mr. Chair. I do not.
Nor do I. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for the January 6, 2025 Application Review Committee
Second.
meeting.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item number four. This is discussion, consideration, and possible action on psychology applications. Moving to A, requesting approval to sit for the ECCC only. First on the list is Dr. Francesca Tenza. Would you like to take this one, Dr. Medina?
Most certainly, Mr. Chair. So, Dr. Tengsa completed her doctoral degree in the APA accredited program in clinical psychology at Alliant International University San Diego in January 2024. Completed an APA accredited internship at Southwest Behavioral and Health Services in September 2023. Completed a postdoctoral residency at Evaluations and Solutions in Trinity Tree, or is currently, I should say. The internship verification forms to references and self-query were submitted and all looks in order. I have no issues with this application.
Nor do I, Dr. Medina. Thank you so much for presenting that application. Moving on to Dr. Engler. Dr. Engler earned a PhD in clinical psychology from the APA accredited Texas A&M University, which was conferred on August 10th of 2024. Dr. Engler submitted 2,090 predoctoral internship hours completed at the APA accredited Phoenix VA Healthcare Center. And that was completed in August of 2024. Dr. Engler responded no to the declaration questions and yes to all of the attestation items. References appear to be in order. A National Practitioner Databank self-query was processed in November of 2024, which revealed no reports. I don't have any concerns with this application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not, Dr. Seidman.
Okay, thank you so much. So we'll go on to the next applicant, and that's Dr. Larez. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Dr. Medina, would you like to present this one?
Sure, thank you. Dr. Lores completed her doctoral degree in the APA accredited program in counseling, clinical, and school psychology at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Completed her APA accredited internship at and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago, and is currently completing her postdoctoral fellowship at Phoenix Children's Hospital. The internship verification form to references and self-query were submitted, and everything looked in order with this application.
I agree. I don't have any concerns with that application either. Thank you, Dr. Medina.
You're welcome.
And then the last application in this section is Dr. De Bruyn. Dr. De Bruyn earned a Doctor of Psychology in Clinical Psychology from the APA accredited Midwestern University, which was conferred August 16th of 2024. Dr. De Bruyn submitted 2,000 predoctoral internship hours, which were completed at the APA accredited Avondale Elementary School District. And that was completed in July of 2024. Dr. De Bruyn responded no to the declaration questions and yes to all of the attestation items. References appear to be in order. Dr. De Bruyn submitted a national practitioner data bank self-query, which was processed in September of 2024, which revealed no reports. I have no concerns with this application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Then I'd like to make a motion. I would like to move the following applications to the full board for approval. For the following applicants to sit for the ECCC only. That's Dr. Tenza, Dr. Engler, Dr. Larez, and Dr. DeBrun. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to discussion, consideration, and possible action on psychology applications B, requesting approval to sit for the ECCC in licensure. First on our list is Dr. Garcia. Would you like to take this one, Dr. Medina?
Sure. Dr. Garcia received her doctoral degree from the APA Accredited Counseling Psychology Program from the University of Oregon in June 2024. She completed her APA Accredited Internship at Sharp Healthcare in July 2024. And she submitted 2,122 hours. Then she submitted 1,152 hours of pre-internship experience that meet criteria for licensure. Two reference and self-query were submitted and all looked in order. So I do not see any issues with this application.
Nor do I, Dr. Medina. Thank you for presenting that case, that application. Okay. Moving on to the next application is Dr. Chase Cummings. Dr. Cummings earned a Doctor of Psychology in Counseling Psychology from the APA-accredited Alliant International University in San Diego, which was conferred July 3rd of 2024. Dr. Cummings submitted 2208 predoctoral internship hours, which were completed at the APA-accredited Hawaii Psychology Internship Consortium, and that was completed in July of 2024. Dr. Cummings submitted an additional 2,909 and a half pre-internship hours, which were completed at the Center for Applied Psychology Services and San Diego Center for Children and Homestart Inc., with 627 direct client care hours, which, if I calculated that correctly, is 22% of the total hours, and obtained 540 and a half hours of supervision. Dr. Cummings, on question 10 on their application materials, noted that 53% of supervision was provided by a licensed psychologist, 47% was provided by another type of licensed mental health professional, psychology intern or postdoc under the supervision of a licensed psychologist. However, in doing some additional calculations, if we eliminate the site of Homestart, we still have 2,005 total hours with 27% of direct and 308.5 of supervision hours. So if I calculated that correctly, the application so far meets our licensure requirements. Training plans appear to be adequate for the pre-internship training experience. Dr. Cummings responded no to all of the declaration questions and yes to all of the attestation items. References appear to be in order. The National Practitioner Data Bank self-query was processed in December of 2024. Which revealed no reports. So Dr. Medina, I hope you followed me okay on that. Did you have any concerns on this particular application?
Dr. Simon, I do not, because when, like you said, when you break down the hours by placements, there are enough hours to meet our licensing requirements between internship and one of the placements. So yes, I have no concerns with the application.
Right. Thank you for verifying the added math that I did. And sorry to convolute this.
Mr. Chair,
if there,
Could I, if I may,
please.
I'm not sure if I heard correctly. Was your concern with Home Start simply the direct hours?
Overall, it was the direct hours. But if we take that Home Start out, they still have enough hours to meet the requirement.
Okay. What I wanted to remind the committee, you may have not encountered this yet. The board issued a substantive policy statement many years ago for direct hours with regard to pre-internship verifications, in that because the statute states that multiple experiences can be added up to the full amount, that applies to the direct client contact hours. So if you added all three of the experiences, their total hours together, and add their direct client contact hours all together, if that total of direct client contact hours meets the 25% or above, that experience is acceptable.
Yes. Thank you, Kathy. What I was attempting to do is when I added them all up in total, they only had 22% direct hours.
Okay. That's what I missed.
Yes.
Okay.
So for the
record, Home Start, we're all good.
Yeah. For the record, we're eliminating Home Start. They still have, excuse me, the needed number of total hours and the needed ratio of direct.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. I missed that it was the totals when you said 22%. Thank you.
Thank you. That was helpful information you provided. So thanks so much. So moving on, I believe Dr. Henbest is here. Dr. Henbest, would you please show your face and unmute, please? We may have some questions for you. Good morning.
Good morning. I did not know I was showing my face. Sorry.
Well, thank you for doing so.
Yeah, of course. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Dr. Medina, would you like to present Dr. Henbest's
Sure. So, Dr. Henbest's case was reviewed and a FIR was issued, in which the committee requested documentation, including pay stubs that demonstrates a compensation that what was received during the internship and postdoctoral supervised experience, and how the base structure for each met Arizona requirements. And if not, if the laws in Idaho allow a supervisor to pay a supervisee based on supervisee's productivity or revenue generated by the supervisee, and to please include the laws in the response. There was nothing that I saw in the laws that were submitted, at least that I could identify, that attested or talked about this particular issue. I don't know if I missed something, Dr. Seidman.
No, I didn't see anything either. Perhaps Dr. Henbest, you could kind of just speak to this issue. I appreciate you sending your response to the FAIR, and I'm still a little bit confused by it. So if you could just speak to how you were compensated,
yeah,
That'd be great.
So I sent the Idaho laws and the requirements for supervised practice on page 5. But there is a page 7 use of service extenders that Idaho has, and that's sort of what I was called during internship by the state as a service extender. So you have to apply, and at that time you had a license. They have now kind of changed it a bit in the last couple years. But you had to provide a supervisory plan and how you were going to be an extension of your supervisor. And so I did that for testing. And I don't think the board probably received this information because I found it this week. When I reached out to the Idaho board, they have not reached back out to me to give a more clear understanding of the rules. But I did find, I emailed Kathy, I think on Wednesday probably, just the American Psychological Association testing codes. They have a code for technicians. And then I sent a Blue Cross mental health extender reimbursement. And so, although I know Idaho's law doesn't clearly state that you can pay service extenders, the insurances, and not all insurances recognize them, they do pay under this technician code or this mental health extender, service extender. All the verbiage is kind of a little bit different, but means the same thing. And so for that, I was paid for the testing hours, which was 285.5 of my hours. And then the rest, the 1710.5, were all unpaid because I wasn't doing, doing a service extender position, I guess.
I think, thank you for that. I think the issue for our committee is to ensure that the experience was a training experience and not a job. So the
sure.
insurance reimbursement process that you described to me is not the issue.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I don't know how to clarify it more, because I mean, we wanted to figure out how to make some kind of money during internship. Obviously wasn't very much, but that was the only way we could sort of find any kind of compensation to do hours. And
yeah. So. Dr. Hensbest, how is your LLC related to this?
It's not.
Dr. Medina?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Sama. But are you done? I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt your question.
No, it's perfectly okay. I prefer a collaborative kind of thing. So thank you.
Thank you. So, Ms. Hinbes, yeah. Internships and typically postdocs are paid on a stipend basis, meaning it doesn't matter what you bill.
Sure.
And when you look... Even if you look at the APIC site, regardless of whether the site is APA accredited or not, every single one has a stipend. It has nothing to do with the work that they did. And that is what is in question here.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. I just obviously did everything non-traditionally for the way that I could do it here in Idaho. And so that was sort of the only way to... I guess we can't call it a stipend, but yeah.
So, Dr. Hembus, so you live in Idaho?
I do, yes.
So are you licensed in Idaho?
No, not yet. I'm working on my postdoctoral hours.
Okay. And so I guess I'm seeking to understand then, like, why get licensed here and not in Idaho if you live in Idaho and work in Idaho?
So I'm working on my postdoc here. It just the timeline, and I have a lot of family that live in Arizona, so I'm working, or I'm going, I go back and forth a lot, so I was really hoping to actually work in both states.
Well, I'm just thinking you might be, you know, if there are no issues, let's say with the, if Idaho recognizes these as training experience, you might be better off just licensing in Idaho. I mean, since there, I didn't see anything in what was submitted to us that specifies or clarifies stipend required for training experiences.
In fact, your internship looks like it was only doing testing, and for those 285 and a half hours, and the other hours were exploitive, non-paid hours.
I did a lot of different things. I think I had submitted all that I did. I did therapy, intakes, feedbacks,
But for free, for nothing. And
yeah.
And how can a trainee, you know, live on that, you know, for 1700 hours and change? So the issue is our licensure requirement notes that if there's payment, it needs to be a stipend and not for direct hours. That's the issue.
Yeah. Would I be able to just make up those hours that I was paid for in my postdoc that I'm doing?
We require a formal pre-doctoral internship, which is a structured sequential training program.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily making up hours.
At least 1,500 hours.
That leaves what? Sorry.
Oh, I said of at least 1,500 hours.
Okay. I know. Sorry, that did not make sense.
Do we need to go into executive session?
If you would like to, I will second the motion. I don't have any questions right now, but we can.
Okay, I'd like to move into executive session. I'd like to make a motion.
Is that for legal advice?
Yes, for legal advice, yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We'll move into executive session. So the committee is back in regular meeting. So Dr. Henbest, what the committee's thinking is that we are going to allow you to consider to withdraw your application, you know, despite the best efforts that you made to apply and to understand Arizona's licensure law. Unfortunately, what you've submitted doesn't fit our statute. So that's what we're going to recommend to our full board.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
The committee will move on to our next applicant, which is Tiana Vozar. Dr. Vozar earned a Doctor of Psychology in Clinical Psychology from the APA-accredited Roosevelt University, which was conferred in August of 2024. Dr. Vozar submitted 2,000 pre-doctoral internship hours, which was completed at the APA-accredited Federal Medical Center, which is in Lexington, Kentucky, completed that in August of 2024. Dr. Vozar submitted an additional 2,228.12, I'm not sure how they got the .12, pre-internship hours, which were completed at a Safe Haven Foundation. Within this pre-internship training, they completed hours at a Safe Haven Foundation and the Kane County Diagnostic Center. They had 700 hours of direct client care and 233 hours of supervision. During their time at a Safe Haven Foundation, there were some modifications to the training program based on the COVID pandemic. However, there was no explanation in the application materials. The training plans appeared to be adequate. The applicant responded no to all the declaration questions and yes to all the attestation items. References appeared to be in order. National Practitioner Data Bank self-query was processed in November of 2024, which revealed no reports. The only concern I have is there was no explanation about the change to the training via based on COVID. Dr. Medina, do you have any other concerns with this one?
I do not. No, I don't have any concerns.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that we request a fair just for an explanation of the modifications made during COVID. How does that sound, Dr. Medina?
Sounds fair.
Okay, we'll get to that.
No pun intended.
Excuse me?
I said no pun intended.
All right. Thank you for the sense of humor as well. Would you be so kind, Dr. Medina, as to present Dr. Reed, please?
Most certainly. So Dr. Reed is reapplying to take the ERPP. Dr. Reed took the ERPP in December 2020 and in May of 2024, but did not obtain a passing score. Dr. Reed obtained his doctoral degree from Lyon University in LA. Is a licensed clinical social worker in California. The two references and the self-query were submitted, and in my opinion, everything looked in order with the application.
I agree. I don't have any concerns on that particular application. Thank you. We have the next on the list is Dr. Marshall Walters, which I'm recused from this application, so we'll forward that to the full board for review. Next on our list is Dr. Ozed Williams, and this is also a reapplication for ERPP and licensure. Dr. Ozed Williams' initial application was approved by the board in June of 2024. Dr. Ozed Williams took the ERPP in July of 2024 and unfortunately didn't receive a scaled score that met the threshold for licensure in Arizona. Dr. Ozed Williams reapplied in November of 2024 and was approved to retake the exam, took the exam in January of 2025, and unfortunately did not receive a scaled score required for licensure in Arizona. Everything else appeared to be in order here. So I don't have any concerns with the application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Okay, so we'll move on to Dr. Battles. Would you present this application, please?
Sure thing. So this application is a response to a FAIR letter on pre-internship hours. And Dr. Battles elected to use postdoctoral hours instead of the pre-internship hours. So he submitted 1,000 postdoctoral hours from the ASU Counseling Services. Dr. Battles received his counseling psychology degree from the University of Missouri in Columbia, which is APA accredited, in 2023, and completed his internship at the ASU Counseling Services in August of 2023. The verification references and self-query were submitted and looked in order. So I don't have concerns with the application. Everything seems to be in order.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Medina. Nor do I. I think the FAIR materials were great and definitely explains the situation. So in terms of Section B, requesting approval to sit for ERPP and licensure, I'd like to make a motion to move forward the following applications to the full board for approval. Dr. Garcia, Dr. Cummings, Dr. Vozar, Dr. Reed, Dr. Ozed Williams, and Dr. Battles. All in favor, or do I hear a second?
Well, second, but did you want to, was it a FAIR for Dr. Vozar for the change in?
Oh, yes, I'm so sorry, yeah.
I'm sorry, right. Mr. Chair, committee members, I need to point out, you probably couldn't read it because I didn't even catch it myself, but I've just looked at the original pre-internship verification for Safe Haven, and in the tiny little box where it was supposed to be able to be the NA, because these are form fillable, the verifier typed in a whole sentence that says telehealth services and telesupervision were provided during the pandemic. And so I believe that is his explanation. I just wanted to bring it to your attention that it is there, even though it was so tiny that you were not able to read it. I was able to copy it and paste it so that I have a full size of it. Of course, feel free to request a FAIR and have that in a separate document if you wish.
Thank you, Kathy. That's really helpful. Thanks for your great eyes too. So that's for Dr. Vozar. So let me rephrase my motion here. I would like to move to forward the following applicants for approval for to sit for the ECCC and licensure: Dr. Garcia, Dr. Cummings, Dr. Vozar, Dr. Reed, Dr. Ozed Williams, and Dr. Battles. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Included in this group, I would like for to forward Dr. Walters' application for full review in front of the board due to my recusal. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And finally, for Dr. Melissa Hensbest, I would like us to forward this applicant to the full board to approve a withdrawal of application due to not meeting the Arizona requirements.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to section C, requesting approval of supervised experience for licensure. We have one applicant in this section who is Dr. Lindsay Polk, and Dr. Medina has recused from this application. So I'd like to make a motion to move Dr. Polk's application to the full board for review. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, the motion passes. Thank you. We have no applications for D, requesting approval for supervised temporary license with or without the ECCC. So we'll move on to section E, which is requesting approval for licensure by waiver. And the applicant is Dr. Jennifer Krause. And I believe Dr. Krause is here. Dr. Krause, good morning and thank you for being here today.
Good morning.
And so Dr. Krause submitted an application and we asked for a fair out of concern for how the applicant was compensated for her training hours. And in the training program's handbook, it stated that they were paid for contact hours only. And we had requested written clarification and pay stubs. And what, if you don't mind, Dr. Krause, would you be so kind as kind of share with us what's occurred and how you've attempted to rectify this, please?
I believe we sent in a letter that Dr. Bookman and I both authored together, trying to clarify that when we did our training plan, he had previously been like a secondary supervisor with another psychologist. And a lot of the times, and so it had been a while since he had been a primary. So we kind of just took on that training plan. And I guess we either missed it. It's hard to say exactly what we were thinking in 4 years ago at that time. But we either missed it or just didn't understand it to meet. I don't know. We were a little unsure, or we just kind of left it because we had a separate payment agreement that we had already discussed that was just going to be hourly. So I did submit the pay stubs and that clarification letter.
Yeah. Thank you. Dr. Medina, do you have any thoughts on this?
I guess my thoughts is that what was submitted, they're not pay stubs and they're not bank statements. So I don't think this is sufficient to show how it was paid.
Okay.
I think we were clear in requesting pay stubs or bank statements. Blacking out obviously transactions that do not pertain to this, as we're not interested in those transactions and
those things were not submitted.
Those are the pay stubs that we used, and so that's what I submitted. I didn't see that were bank statements or and bank statements.
So, Dr. Krauss, it looks like
Dr. Bushman created this, what you submitted. Is that true? The kind of the chart, if you will, of the monthly. Do you know where Dr. Bushman got this material from?
What do you mean?
Like how where did the information in these pages generate from? Like looking at a payroll invoice, uh-huh. Like where's that from? Like how is that in a file somewhere?
I have it on my file. I would assume he probably has it in a file somewhere as well. Maybe I think I actually created the original template for it.
And so then where did the
material come from? So what did Dr. Bushman use to fill those tables in?
Word?
No, what record did Dr. Bushman use?
Probably the hours I submitted for internship at like what I was working for my internship.
But where was that documented? Do you know where that was documented? So is it in like a supervision record?
In Meditrack.
And what is Meditrack?
It tracks training hours.
Is it like Time to Track? Is that like a national program,
or is that Dr. Bushman's program, or what?
No, it's a national program. It's a program that the school used.
And so, Dr. Bushman was your
primary supervisor during this time, and you said he wasn't before, or like hadn't had the experience.
I don't think he had been a primary for a while. Or had started as a primary for some time.
So are you saying
you use the school's template to have the agreement of the training program?
We used my secondary supervisor's template.
Which wasn't accurate.
Aside from the payment agreement, everything else was accurate. We made changes as, you know, different for us, but filled in based on what we were doing. But that was, I think that was the only thing that was not accurate. And I'm not exactly sure what we were doing or thinking at that time to just leave that.
Yeah. As Dr. Medina mentioned, the information requested was pay stubs for the entirety of the internship that demonstrates the compensation you received during your internship and how the pay structure met Arizona requirements per the rule quoted.
And I was paid hourly, which is, so I was paid for everything that I did, no matter what I was doing.
Did we go into executive session?
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session.
Second. And that's for legal advice.
Correct? For legal advice, yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Back in our meeting today, and what we've talked about, Dr. Krauss, is we're going to request additional information from you, and what we'd like is we would like bank statements that reflect what's included in those invoices that you submitted. So there should be totals that match the invoices that you submitted for your training program. And in addition, we would like you to submit your training logs for MetaTrack that matches what you submitted for your in those invoices to show those hours, those same hours. Is that clear?
That is clear. I will have to figure out how to access any of those.
If you go to your bank, they should be able to provide you with the statements for those months. That would show then a deposit for those amounts.
Okay.
And to just reiterate and be clear, what we're trying to do is just make sure that your training program met our licensure law in terms of compensation. And that's our job. So that's why we're asking just for clarification.
Yeah, and I understand. And I know that my secondary supervisor is under investigation for that currently and is creating havoc in my world. But I didn't have a payment agreement with her. And
okay,
it's disappointing that it is disruptive for me when I was not exploited in my hours.
It is. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. And thank you for being here today.
Mr. Chair, may I just make one statement to Dr. Krause? When you send us, your bank statements, you can redact, certain things that you would not want, that the board doesn't need to see. We don't need to see the account number if it's printed in full on the statement. You know, other transactions the board, doesn't care about. So, take the time to be careful and thoughtful about that, please.
I didn't always... I guess one of the things that I'm thinking is I didn't always deposit it into my bank. Sometimes I would just cash a check, or he would just give me cash for part of it or pay me. So I'm not even sure if I'm going to have, how that is going to necessarily line up. So, but.
Well, an alternative would be for him to submit records that show his check cashed.
That would be a helpful thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And we can, could that be included in the fair letter?
As an alternative?
As an alternative.
Yes.
Right. So it could be his bank statement showing that the check was cashed and for the amount that you are stating. So for example, there was, the statement for June 2021, it's the total pay amount for that month is $3,560. Either in your account, there needs to be a deposit for that amount, or he can show this check was cash and it was for $3,560.
And what about the times where he actually did just give me cash?
Don't know what to tell you there. Sorry.
But perhaps there can be documentation from Dr. Bush that says on this particular date I gave cash, if there's no bank statement and in the amount.
I would think for taxes, he would have some sort of record.
Yes, for taxes, he would need to have records. So he has to pull those then from his accountant. That's not kosher. I mean, it's not. People don't hand out cash. Dr. Krause, that's just people don't hand out cash. And he would want that for his taxes because it would be discounted as an expense from his business. And no business owner, as a business owner, will tell you, you're not going to give up. If I'm paying an employee, I'm not going to say, oh, no, I didn't. I'm not going to not deduct that amount that I paid the employee.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has the amount on record with the little invoices that we had. So was recorded somewhere, but
there should be. I think in the agreement they talked about keeping documentation for X amount of years too. So there should be some kind of record of not only the supervision notes and the activities that you did, but the payments as well.
and tax information is to be kept at least for 7 years. And that's a federal requirement. So anything else that we need to add in the FAIR letter? That we want to request Dr. Bushman's presence at next ARC meeting?
I think we do. I'd like to have Dr. Bushman here to be available to clarify if needed. But I'll make a motion, hopefully in a concise way. Okay. We're there, okay? So, Dr. Krause, thank you again for being here today and for responding in a timely manner.
Thank you.
So I'd like us to move on to the next applicant in Section E. It's Dr. Aguilera Rice and Dr. Medina. Would you like to present this applicant?
Sure thing, Mr. Chair. So Dr. Aguilera Rice graduated from McGill University in Quebec, Canada in school/applied child psychology in 2021, completed her APA accredited internship at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, completed her postdoc, and her current place of employment is at CHOC, the Children's Hospital of Orange County, passed the ACCP in June 2022, is licensed in psychology in the state of California. Since December 2022, the references and self-query were submitted, so everything looks in order.
Thank you. I agree. I don't have any concerns with that applicant. Thank you, Dr. Medina. Last on our list in Section E is Dr. Tibbetts. Dr. Tibbetts has been licensed in the state of California since August of 2024 and is in good standing. Dr. Tibbetts earned a Doctor of Psychology in Clinical Psychology from Midwestern University, which was granted in August of 2023. Dr. Tibbetts took the ACCP in California in February of 2024 and obtained a scaled score that meets the Arizona requirement. Dr. Tibbetts submitted documentation of 1,950 total hours of pre-doctoral internship, which was completed at an AP-accredited Western Youth Services, submitted documentation of an additional 1,504 postdoctoral hours, which was also obtained at Western Youth Services, had 636 direct hours and 80 hours of supervision with an adequate training plan. References appeared to be in order. I don't have any concerns with the attestation items or declaration questions. And the National Practitioner Data Bank self-query was processed in September of 2024 with no reports. I don't have any concerns with this applicant. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Thank you. So I would like to make a motion in regards to Section E, requesting approval for licensure by waiver. I would like to move Dr. Aguilera Rice and Dr. Tibbetts to the full board for approval. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. With regards to Dr. Jennifer Krause, I would like for the committee to administer a second FAIR letter requesting bank statements from Dr. Krause that reflects the payment process in the invoices that were just that were submitted in the initial FAIR. In addition, I would like as an alternative, she can submit Dr. Bushman's bank statements that reflect what was provided in the payment invoices. I'd also like the FAIR to include the applicant's training logs from that electronic platform that was mentioned. I believe it was Meditrack. And I would also like us to invite Dr. Bushman to be available in the next ARC meeting to clarify any questions that the committee has.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Medina. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Board staff, was that, did I give you enough? Did I go too fast or slow, or was it okay? Got it?
Perfect.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
You're a veteran now.
Oh, my. Moving on to section F, there are no applicants for requesting approval for licensure by credential. So we'll move on to section G, requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. The first applicant here is Dr. Branford. Would you be so kind, Dr. Medina, as to present this applicant?
Certainly, Dr. Seidman. So Dr. Branford received his doctoral degree from the American Behavioral Studies Institute in 2002. Is licensed in the state of California and license expires June 2025. Dr. Branford was licensed in the state of Arizona with license number 5389. It expired in June 2023. Was licensed in the state of Georgia, and it expired in December 2024. A self-query was submitted. I didn't see the proof of Arizona residence, but except in the self-query, it did show an Arizona address. And I'm assuming that that's enough. You can correct me if I'm wrong, or let me know if I missed
that. You didn't miss it, Dr. Medina. I didn't see it either. Okay. So we did not have a proof of residence. Actually, the actual document for proof of residence.
Right. Now the self-query does list an Arizona residence, but I don't know if that meets criteria or not. I don't know if Kathy can.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, committee members, we're talking about Dr. Branford, yes?
Yes.
There is a document. I'm surprised I didn't put it in there. There's no Arizona driver's license?
No.
I'm going to double check real quick.
It's California.
Okay, yes. Let me come back to that. There should be a document. I must have just, I know there is one. I must have found out somehow.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
So it sounds like we've finished Dr. Branford, and we'll hopefully get that document verified.
Yeah.
Moving on to Dr. McCormick. Mm-hmm. Dr. McCormick holds an active, full, independent license in the state of Utah and has had that since June of 1999. Dr. McCormick previously had licensure here in Arizona, and that expired in July of 2011. Dr. McCormick holds a doctoral degree in educational psychology from the University of Utah, graduated in 96. There were no concerns with the responses to the attestation items or declaration questions. There's proof of Arizona residence, photograph, National Practitioner Data Bank. Self-query was generated in October of 2024 with no reports. I don't have any concerns with this application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Okay, we'll move on then to Dr. Fish, perhaps? Or
Pish.
Pish. Okay, would you like to present this applicant, sure. Dr. Medina?
Sure thing. Dr. Pish received his doctorate degree from Immaculata University in Psychology in 2012. Currently holds licenses in Hawaii, South Carolina, and Indiana, and has an expired license in West Virginia, provided proof of residence, residential lease, and a self-query. It looks like everything was in order on my end.
I agree. Looks good. Thank you, Dr. Medina. We'll move on. Excuse me. We'll move on to Dr. Strain. Dr. Strain held an independent license in Nevada, which expired in December of 2024. Currently holds an active license in Texas since 2009. Dr. Strain is also SciPac authorized. Dr. Strain hold a doctoral degree from Indiana State University in counseling psychology, which was conferred in 2006. There were no concerns with responses to attestation items or declaration questions. There's proof of residence and photograph and national practitioner databank self-query was generated in November of 2024 with no reports. I don't have any concerns. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Would you present Dr. Hartman, please?
Sure thing. Dr. Hartman graduated from the clinical psychology doctoral program at ASU in August of 2021. She is licensed in Kansas. It expires in 2026. Proof of residence was submitted. Self-query was submitted. I had no issues or concerns with this application.
Nor do I. Thank you, Dr. Medina. And last on this section G is Dr. Negron. Dr. Negron holds an active independent license in Puerto Rico since 1999. Dr. Negron graduated with a Doctor of Psychology in Clinical Psychology from the Ponce School of Medicine. Graduated in 2023. I believe we were talking earlier about, we need to talk about the licensure exam here, but let me finish and then we'll go back to that. There were no concerns with the attestation items or declaration questions. Interestingly, they answered question number one, license in any jurisdiction, but they marked no, which is probably just a typo there. There was proof of Arizona residence. National Practitioner Databank self-query was generated November 4th of 2024 with no reports. Let's discuss this a little bit. So the concern is the training, does the training meet ARS 324302?
Is the applicant online?
Is Dr. Negron on the meeting today?
Okay, I just didn't know who that number was.
Yeah.
So I guess the concern is whether this is equivalent in my mind to our license. So if the applicant took and obtained a passing ACCP score, it would be equivalent. If not, I do not think it is equivalent. It is optional to take the ACCP score, and Puerto Rico is not a requirement. So just because she's licensed in Puerto Rico doesn't mean she did not take or took it.
Would you care to receive legal advice in executive session?
I'd like to make a motion for legal advice, please.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
You're muted, Dr. Seidman.
Thank you. I knew it was going to happen at least once. Thank you. So we're back in our full meeting for ARC, and we just reviewed Dr. Negron's application, and I would like to make a motion to approve the following applications for licensure by universal recognition and move them forward to the full board. Dr.
I apologize for interrupting, Dr. Seidman, Mr. Chair. Did we want to go back to John Bradford before you make a motion?
Yes. If you do you have evidence of residence, Kathy?
Yes and no. I received a Chase statement. It's not a bank statement. I uploaded it to the folder. If you refresh your folder, you'll see it listed directly under his application. However, it looked unusual to me because it lists Psychogenic LLC and then the address. And so I was looking up this corporation and I'm not finding it in Arizona. So I looked up the property address and found it is a house in Scottsdale. However, the assessor's website indicates it's owned by Alan Brown and not John Bradford. And so I am wondering if the committee would want to question or perhaps issue a FAIR for additional information.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. That's helpful. Appreciate it. So I would like to make a motion to, in terms of Dr. Bradford's application, to request a FAIR and for proof of residence in Arizona. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. In terms of the rest of the applicants, I would like to make a motion to move Dr. McCormick, Dr. Pice, Dr. Strain, Dr. Hartman, and Dr. Negron to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, the motion passes. Moving on to section.
There was a second, but not a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, the motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Galvin. Moving on to the next section, section H, requesting approval for telehealth registry. We have one applicant. This is Dr. Berlin, Alyssa Berlin. Dr. Berlin provided...
Dr. Medina.
Excuse me?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Dr. Berlin provided contact information from the state of California. Dr. Berlin showed evidence of possessing professional liability insurance coverage that includes coverage for telehealth services in Arizona. Dr. Berlin provided proof of an Arizona statutory agent, provided a self-query that was processed in October of 2024 with no reports. Dr. Berlin has no disciplinary action for a number of licenses in the United States, has been licensed in the state of California since October of 2005, in Michigan since September of 2023, in New York since May of 2023, in Connecticut since March of 2023, in Florida since 2022, and was licensed in the District of Columbia, and that expired in December of 2023. That's my presentation of this applicant. I don't have any concerns about Dr. Berlin's application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Thank you. I would like to make a motion to approve Dr. Berlin's request for approval for telehealth registry. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. So do I hear a motion, Dr. Medina, to adjourn our application review committee meeting?
So move.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. The meeting is adjourned January 31st at 9:03 a.m. Thank you, everybody, for your work today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everybody.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.